Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency? Yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Hey, Bitcoin Maxis. It's the Tokens Radio Show with our hosts, Christy Matthews, Linda Kent, and Cameron Walfort.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hope you're having good a great afternoon. Day. This is Christy Matthews.
This is Linda Kett.
And Cameron Walfort.
And that is Cameron Walfort, who is on assignment in a remote location, and it is super secret, and he will not say where he's at. And
but he's still with us.
He's in complete crypto format.
Yes.
Welcome.
He's incognito.
Incognito. So
joining decentralized.
There you go. He's decentralized today. Perfect.
We
perfect.
Could take that a lot of ways. All right. So,
well, this is the Tokens Radio Show where we talk about all things crypto, blockchain, and Web3. And we'd like to welcome our new producer, Elam. Thank you. And thank
it's
you
actually
for being
Liam,
here.
But
Liam.
That is okay.
Liam, I'm
yeah.
sorry, we'll get that right. I was a little dyslexic. I had it almost spelled right
it's
here
okay.
on my form.
See, I'm not the only one that gets backwards
Happy
once
Sunday,
in a while.
Everybody. So you'll be able to find us on Telegram and Twitter at Tokens Radio Show. And the live chat room is open at KCNR1460.com. And give our station a call. Give us a chat. At 530-605-4567. The lines are open, and we're just waiting to talk with you. And if you missed our last show, you can catch the replays, most of our replays, at tokensradioshow.com. Whatever is not there, we'll link you right to the main station website.
And I just want to say real
yes,
quick,
of course.
If you're a little shy about calling in, you can always type your questions in the chat room, and we will address them. So I just wanted
Absolutely.
To let you know that.
Yes, we monitor the chat throughout the show. Good point, Linda. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And if you are just joining in on the show, I highly do advise checking out some of our archives because you can learn a lot about the world of crypto just going into some of those deep dives we've gone into and listening to some of those rabbit hole conversations.
Oh, I totally agree. Well, good thing is it's Sunday, and right now, Bitcoin is holding at $21,372, so that is a happy day for some of us Bitcoin folks that were watching it go down to $17,000 last week, so here we are.
Yeah, some of us are happy when it goes down even more and then goes back up. You
yes,
know?
As long as
we
it
like
goes
the
back
roller coaster
up, some
ride.
Of us bought it at a very high price. So later on today, we're going to be talking about the market effect of leverage. And what is a security versus commodity? And we have a little bit of surprise in the Web3 arena. And Solana is back in the news with that. So we're excited to talk about those items today. And so before we get started, here's a word from one of our affiliate partners. To make a fortune in crypto, you only have to be right once. Which crypto projects could be the next Amazon, Google, Netflix, or Apple? These companies emerge from market conditions as we have now. Banks who have the most to lose are trying to regulate the industry. And what options are available to you? Being part of a crypto community like Crypto Confidential that knows what to buy, how to buy it, how to keep it safe, when to sell it, and how to minimize taxes when you do is crucial now more than ever. A subscription to Crypto Confidential is just a fraction of what you would pay to retain experts. Crypto Confidential is not only accessible when you need them, they are a team of the world's best, boldest, and brightest crypto experts around. They have bi-monthly AMAs, access to the experts through a private forum, in-person events, monthly print publication, a 60-day money-back guarantee. So just check them out. There's a bunch of other things that are available. Check them out at our tokensradioshow.com/CC. You could see their introduction page at tokensradioshow.com/CC and see if Crypto Confidential is for you.
All right. Well, I will do Crypto Speak of the Week, and it's FUD. I know we have a lot of different things that probably run through your mind when I say FUD.
Well, we're having a FUD and good time.
What it is, it's another commonly used piece of technical jargon found within the crypto world. It is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Okay? It kind of sounds almost something to familiar like we did last week.
Right.
FOMO.
Exactly.
Okay? So fear, uncertainty, and doubt refers to the skepticism of uncertainty about a cryptocurrency project or the overall crypto market.
I think we've been FUDded about Bitcoin.
I think we have. Let me finish here.
Sure.
FUD can be used in different ways, such as in a negative event. You can create FUD about a coin or when someone has FUD and isn't investing. A FUDster can be somebody who is spreading FUD negatively.
There's been a lot of FUDsters out there.
Yeah.
What I would say really quick to comment on that is, in general, no one wants to see their investment fail. So looking at the skepticism that people are pointing out, I would say maybe not toward Bitcoin or anything like massive projects of that nature, but with up-and-coming projects or newly launched projects or anything like that, it's not a bad idea to pay attention to the FUD. Doesn't mean don't pursue whatever it is that you were pursuing, but most people aren't out just to cause other people's investments to fail. It's usually something to do with their money being in it, and that doubt and uncertainty and fear can very easily be rooted in their sincere feelings towards what they're seeing, and every now and then they catch something that's worth mentioning.
I would like to add on to that too, Cameron, is just because it's on the internet and the information is right there, you need to kind of do your homework, no matter whether it's crypto or whatever it is, because there is information that may not be correct that's easy to find.
Oh.
You know, so, and I'm not saying that you're saying that. I'm just saying that people need to be aware of that you got to kind of look at the overall and know where the sources are coming from or the information is coming from so you don't get FUDded, if that's such a term.
Absolutely. I would just, the point I'm more leaning toward is not to take it as they're telling the truth or not telling the truth. But we all have it within our own capabilities to do our due diligence.
Yes.
And
yes,
uncover the truth. And that's nowhere is that more true than on the blockchain, where you can track transactions. Most code is open source. So you, in general, if someone's pointing out that the team is selling off a large portion of the tokens, I mean, you don't have to jump to, oh, they're telling the truth. So that is something you can verify for yourself. And I would say a healthy degree of skepticism is extremely important in investing in crypto, especially when you're on the side of investing in newer or not fully developed projects.
Totally. I think a healthy degree of skepticism with all things crypto and any investment is a good personal policy to follow.
Yeah.
Totally
agree. So that's the word, FUD.
Great word. And it's so true because we're seeing so much of it. You know, in turbulent times that we're in right now, you're going to be seeing a lot of FOMO and a lot of FUD.
Yeah, they kind of go together.
Yes.
So don't let your FUD dictate your FOMO or vice versa. I'm just saying, you know, be careful out there.
So just a reminder, we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, and just be on the lookout for scammers. It is so easy to click on a link and not even think about it. Mm-hmm. And generally how it might happen is that you're quickly going through, you know, a trove of social media content or email, and you just accidentally click on a link because your mind was on something else, and now you are taken somewhere that you don't want to be. I went ahead and I searched on a website the other day. I just did a search, and I was taken to one of those Google, hey, you won a sweepstakes prize. Boy, I can't say that. But and then I went back and I searched the same term, and it happened again, and I'm going, oh, my gosh. So I had to run my malware software and make sure that I didn't have, you know, some sort of, you know, a malware. Malware attached to my software or on my phone. It was just, it's just so scary. We know somebody who clicked on a link and their phone had been eSIMmed. So somehow we don't know how the SIM had been duplicated, but nonetheless, there was a SIM duplication, and so they lost all access to their phone. They weren't able to get into their wallets, which was on their phone. And and apparently there was some significant investment there, and this person is completely demoralized because of what happened. Go right ahead.
Did they not have their seed phrase backed up?
They did have their seed phrase backed up. We don't know why he was not able to get into his accounts.
Okay.
So. It seems to me that some of the crypto hygiene may not have, not all
right.
of the check boxes were checked off in his own security protocol. Seems that way to me. I don't know.
It's a wide net that's being cast.
Yes, it is.
So there's a lot to be looking for and on your heels with, or on your toes with, sorry. But I would also say, I doubt that, the person in question was acting outside of what they considered their own scope. But it is very important in the crypto world to be self-aware of what you're comfortable with, what you understand, and what's just over your head. If something feels just way over your head, it's probably a good idea to avoid that so you have a better understanding, because trying to figure this stuff out kind of leaves you susceptible to listening to the wrong person. Or following the wrong link.
And it's so true, Cameron. And what was kind of surprising about this person is that he has an IT background. And for him to be have had that person or persons who had found that vulnerability point with him is very surprising, because he's been in the crypto space for a very long time, knows the game, and yet it still happened to him. And so the whole point of all of this is that we need to be careful on our social media channels. Telegram is getting bombarded with bots. Twitter is bombarded with bots. And you're starting to see some account holders that are limiting whether you can add media onto their post. So just be careful about that. That's all we can say.
I do have one question about, does it matter who you're using as your browser to be more susceptible?
It does help to use
not Internet Explorer.
Right, not Internet Explorer. Agree with you there. Because we do know with other things it does make a difference, whether you're using Google or Brave or DuckDuckGo, whichever one, that it can make a difference. And maybe, I'm not saying that that's what the person did, but
it was
for
on
other
his mobile.
People.
It was his mobile phone.
Yeah.
I think what happened is that somebody got his SIM card. So one of the things that can happen is, let's say you go into your local mobile phone store.
Okay.
You don't want that tech to walk off with your mobile phone taking your SIM card with you or with them.
With them.
Okay. Have them go in the back and come back with a new SIM card and exchange it in front of you.
That's a good point. Now,
that is
something I wouldn't know.
Right.
Me as a layman, I got to take it on the back and, you know, okay. Good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
That's the only thing that we were thinking could have happened, and this person hasn't been available for us to confirm if he had been into a telecom store and had his phone out of his possession at any time to where a SIM card could have been SIM'd.
Right.
He SIM'd. Yeah.
Good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Another thing is, and of course we all want to sit here and tell people about crypto, but keeping your holdings confidential is important because, especially because what I would imagine is most likely this is a targeted attack, because that's how you find vulnerabilities, like the one that got past this,
right,
or got past all of his walls. And the way targeted attack works is someone knows that you have something worthwhile, and they start sending all kinds of attacks your way. And that could be hardwiring into your internet from outside of your house could very well bypass essentially everything. And, I mean, you'd have to have some real cojones to go and hardwire into someone's house.
Right,
but,
right.
The simple matter is, if you plant a target on your back, you're asking someone to take the shot.
Well, I'd like to piggyback on what you just said, because here's another vulnerability point. Yeah, it's possible to have the proper equipment and sit out in front of somebody's house and see if there's vulnerability into their home network. Now, how would that be? Is if you use the password that was put on the back of your modem or your router, like admin or password. You really need to change that. And if you are still using the password that was provided to you by your telecom, or if you bought your own equipment, one of the best things that you can do is go in and change that password immediately to something very safe.
And that's across the board with anything. People, no matter what it is, But good point.
I don't want to step on this person's toes at all. I don't know them. But it would very much seem to me that that's the most likely point of access would be through your internet. If you have a phone that's designated for crypto, that you're not going to any funky sites, 5G or even 4G or LTE are all significantly safer for your from a tampering perspective, where no one can just directly SSH into your device. And what an SSH is they're essentially controlling your device from another device, and they have access to everything within your device. That's next to impossible on a cell phone if it's not connected to an internet point.
Well, that's true.
So if you're not connected to your Wi-Fi ever, if you have a device that never connects to Wi-Fi, it's infinitely safer than something that is connected to your Wi-Fi or even hardlined into your modem.
Well, you know, I've heard differences of opinions on that, and I have heard that probably one of the worst vulnerabilities is to be on the 4G, 5G, LTE network. And the best way, if you're going to store cryptos on your phone, for instance, is to remove your SIM card, take it completely out of the phone, reset your phone to the factory settings, and then install your wallets from a Wi-Fi connection, and then load your cryptos there, disconnect your Wi-Fi, and then throw your phone, turn your phone off, and then put it in a safe place.
Okay, so you guys just opened up a can of worms.
For the
dummy in the group when it comes to phones and technology. Can your phone operate without a SIM card?
Yes, as long as you're on Wi-Fi.
Yes, absolutely. But really quick on the Wi-Fi side, neighbors are infamous for stealing Wi-Fi. And once you get into someone's Wi-Fi, you have access to all the devices.
Right.
That are
but it has to be password protected.
Right.
Yeah, so
it's usually locked.
Password protected. You don't want to use a predictable password. But if you're using the one on back of your modem, even if it's a two-word one with three numbers, your neighbor comes over for a cup of coffee and asks to connect to your Wi-Fi or goes and looks at it. But really, it only takes someone asking to connect and then they know your password.
It's so true. And thank you again for bringing up another point, because that's where you have guest passwords available.
Yeah,
and that's why you want to.
We recommend having
access points. So probably the best way is. unless this is a super trusted individual, you don't give anybody access to your Wi-Fi.
Well, which you guys just brought up another thing for me, because like in my business, I never thought about the guest password,
right,
that you could set that up.
Right.
A lot of times we have people that come in, and you would think there's no problem, but they'll want to connect to our Wi-Fi.
Right. That should probably have a password change immediately.
Yeah, so
that's a good point, guys. Thank you for that.
For businesses, a reason to not have a public Wi-Fi or to require a password, really that password should be changing frequently.
Yes.
Every device that's connected to it, you can use a Raspberry Pi and clone that MAC address, and all of the information connected to that Wi-Fi goes through that Raspberry Pi first, and that's a $35 device, and someone could literally just connect to the Wi-Fi at any given public Wi-Fi hotpoint and send out a clone MAC address, and every bit of information that travels through it is there.
Well, thank you guys for that, because that's a good pointer, because I know I'm not alone, but when you guys mention that, it's like, huh.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know who else is accessing that person's device that they're using to access the internet while they're in your office.
And it's just good practice to go to change your passwords. Think about all of the devices that you just use naturally, don't even think about anymore. Those are your vulnerability points.
Right.
Yes. Just go back and do a quick check and think about how many passwords you actually save in your password saver, and maybe go through and take some of the, get rid of those and check. There are ways that you can run security checks on your password savers, whether it's a Google password saver or Authy or something like that. Password Keeper, I believe, is a good one. But you should run through there and run security checks and make sure that there's no vulnerabilities with those.
Funny, just turned into a crypto hygiene talk.
Yeah, didn't mean for that, but was great.
No, it was important, though, because we brought up a lot of good things, I would think, for the listeners out there, like the SIM card.
Right.
I don't know that much about it, but it's nice to know that if I took it out, I could still use my phone, so to speak. Or, I take it into, I trust somebody, and they take my phone
security
away.
Security has a lot of tentacles to
it does.
Yeah. You bet. So how are we doing on time, Liam?
We are looking at 2:27, 2.5 minutes until break.
Yeah. Great. Well, what we're going to talk about here when we get back from break is, there's been a run on liquidity in the marketplaces. It all started with Terra Luna. When we get back from our break, we're going to break down the market effect of leverage and what that has on the markets, and really what we're looking at today and what you're going to want to do to protect yourself from an exchange that you might be leaving your crypto on right at this moment. So we'll give you some tips for that when we get back, and we'll go from there.
Did we get disconnected? Well, that
nope.
was... Oh, still there. All right. I guess
do you have anything to add to that, Cameron?
No, not off. Not going into the break. No, I think we'll be coming solid back. And
We're going to go to a break, and when we will return, we will be taking up the conversation on leverage. You are listening to Tokens Radio Show, KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
Welcome back. Our phone number here is 530-605-4567. And before we went to break, we were beginning to talk about the market and the effects of leverage in the crypto world. So we will continue that conversation, guys. So where do you want to start here?
Well, Cameron, you want to take the way with that?
Okay, yeah, of course. So essentially what we just saw happen recently is, well, how far back, or do we want to explain what leveraging is, or just explain how it's affecting the market in recent?
Maybe a short on leverage. Go for it on leverage.
Alrighty. So, essentially, when you have funds and you want to be earning on them, but also or to utilize them while they're locked down, you can take out like a loan against your money and leverage that against the market. This is less my jargon area. But what we just recently saw is, with a whole bunch of central exchanges and a combination of decentralized exchanges offering, different, methods of leveraging, we saw, So essentially a whole bunch of crypto had to be liquidated, and I'm sorry, I'm a little tongue-tied coming back, but
no, that's all right.
There's a project called Terra Luna, which uses its cryptocurrency, its native currency to back its decentralized dollar peg, which is something that's worth as much as the United States dollar, and stays exactly that price is the idea behind the peg. Well, to mint their token, since we have to leverage your, is it Luna or Terra is their token name? I'm sorry.
Luna is the project, and Terra UST is the one that crashed and burned several weeks ago, which is what caused this cascading effect.
Now, did they blow up, so to speak, because they overextended themselves?
No, a whale went and made a large trade, and it brought, it depegged Terra and brought them down, I don't know, 60-70%, and then they couldn't come back to the dollar peg. And that's had a cascading effect.
It was such a dramatic move on the value of Luna that the UST peg, which was pegged against Luna, lost its dollar pegging. And in response, a whole bunch of people started selling off their Luna, which caused it to crash significantly more. So it was essentially impossible for Terra to regain that value. And because of this, there's a whole bunch of centralized and decentralized markets that were utilizing UST or the Terra peg as their dollar. And as it vanquished, so did the value behind all of the leveraged funds that were distributed. Well, anyone that was utilizing Terra was massively affected, and thus people started selling off on their other currencies as they were losing value in response to that market shift.
And to add to that is, with stablecoins, you need to have assets that back the stablecoin.
Yes.
So Terra was backed by a significant amount of Bitcoin, but then yet some of that was based on loans that were taken to buy the Bitcoin to stabilize or to shore up Terra. And so it was a leverage buy to start with in some respects, not 100%. But nonetheless, when they had to move some of that around to try to stabilize the peg, they were unable to do so. And then there was the run in the market, just the stock market in general, just market conditions, and everything started to come down. And it really did start with the Terra peg. But it was not the entire cause.
That was a lot more coherent than what I said.
What's that?
Oh, I said that was a lot more coherent than how I backed
that. But isn't that the way it usually works, though? For lack of a better term, maybe frenzy? Because one aspect of like the stock market or cryptocurrency is having an issue, then it kind of can throw everything in a tailspin, so to speak, because of the leverage piece?
Oh, sure. It's
good.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, like, say you're invested in a trust fund. Well, if that trust fund has a whole bunch of Apple stock, and the price of Apple crashes, and this is a massive trust fund, well, they start selling their Apple off because they're trying to protect their investment. And because of this, the price of that trust fund or the value of that trust fund now goes down, and it has a cascading effect on the everything else it's holding, assuming it's big enough. Because essentially these trust funds and VCs and accumulated funds control the vast majority of the market. So when they start liquidating their positions, it's like when America sneezes, the rest of the world gets the cold. Well, when a whale sneezes, the ocean turns to snot.
And really what this was a modern-day bank run. It happened at the crypto exchanges, though, but it's really we can go back in history and look at the bank run right before the Great Depression. Is people were going to the banks, they wanted their money, they were exchanging their silver certificates, their proof that they had money or money owed to them in the bank, and the bank wasn't able to deliver, and partially because the banks fractionated their monies. And so it wasn't a one-for-one loan. They were, you know, taking, let's say, a dollar like they do now in just much more of an egregious way. But they would take a dollar and maybe loan out seven parts of that dollar. And then if you have all seven people coming and saying, hey, I want my dollar, but the person holding the dollar has already spent it and it's not there, no one is getting paid.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, use a candy bar analogy or whatever, but if you're holding that candy bar and that candy bar no longer exists, nobody can make claim to it.
Well, it's like they're trying to split it, or they have it split in sevenths, and they just crap out, for lack of a better term, an eighth piece.
Right.
It's a pie that's only cut in seven, and somehow someone's getting an eighth piece. Well, once everyone comes up to that dessert table, there's going to be a whole lot of people short of their eighth piece.
No dessert for you.
Right. The banks actually lend more than what they're taking in,
right.
And then that creates a big problem
it. And there is no buy-ins in crypto. Like today, there is not going to be a bank bailout. There's going to be a bail-in at our banks. But, you know, here's what happened. You know, the effects of this whole thing is when the run started to happen, Coinbase halted their trading for a period of time. So just to let things cool down. Then Celsius temporarily discontinued withdrawals, and from what I understand, they're still in a temporary discontinuance state. And there are many others who are in the crosshairs of liquidity at this point. There's one right now that is causing a lot of concern in the market, and it's called Three Arrows Capital. And it's a huge hedge fund, and it's on the brink of insolvency due to its exposure to Terra. So you see how Terra started things, but it was a cascading effect with these other exchanges because there were other asset classes that were also being liquidated. So there wasn't enough liquidity to cover all of the demands for pulling out of those accounts. So Three Arrows have actually looked towards FTX, which is owned by Sam Bankman-Fried. And they have a lot of capital, and they have come to the rescue of a few crypto projects over the last couple of years. And now what's also on the radar is Voyager. Voyager's exposure to Three Arrows Capital, and it is not a small exposure by any means. It includes about 15,000 Bitcoin and $350 million of stablecoin, worth over $650 million. So it is a big deal, and it's becoming apparent that Three Arrows will not be able to pay back the loan that they have to Voyager, and Voyager is going to need some propping up, and this is not looking good.
Right. And this is Voyager is a publicly traded crypto, right?
Yes.
So this could have a big effect in many ways because of that.
Right. Well, yes.
It can cascade pretty quickly.
Yes. So depending on how all of this goes down, we might see more turbulence in the markets. What we were seeing with Bitcoin this last week is just, on one thing, yes, it shows the volatility in the market, but also on the brighter side of things, Bitcoin has withstood this test. It has never gone through a period of inflationary times like what we have right now. A funky leadership in our country, all sorts of things. I mean, it was bred out of a poor economy, but it was definitely not the market conditions that we have today, and yet it has still survived, and it has recovered quite a bit, and it still seems to be undervalued where it's sitting right now. So that's the test of that. So,
But that's nothing new for something like Bitcoin, for the up and down cycles.
Right.
You know, really, when you stop and think about it, with everything else going on in the market and things are going down and going up, you're going to have that happening.
You will. And then once they become, once the crypto market becomes more capitalized than it is now, it will be less volatile.
Right.
But because it's not as capitalized, the volatility is felt much greater among the people who are holding crypto.
Right.
If that makes sense.
And don't be FOMO over it. Don't be afraid of what's going on. Yeah.
Exactly. What were you going to say, Cameron?
I was going to say it's a trend mindset for crypto for sure, because it is, at the moment at least, a significantly more volatile market. And where you might set red flags in the stock market for your position to sell, there's a dramatically larger swing in the crypto world, which you have to be comfortable with. You know, if you're not comfortable it dipping 10 to 15%, swinging back up 15 to 20% each day, then it could be a very rough world for you if you're trying to just keep up with those and stay ahead of them, because crypto, at least as it stands,
right,
is, it goes far south and far north, and in general, the best choice is just to ride the roller coaster, it would seem.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
let's wrap this up into a little package so that we know what to do with this. So exchanges are something that that we use. You know, I wouldn't hesitate to go onto Coinbase today and make a trade. But here's the reason why. Because what you should do, and even the biggest leaders in the industry who have crypto exchanges, you know, the owners of Gemini, for instance, will tell you, you need to self-custodial. You need to manage your own crypto. So what you need is a hardware device that is offline. So when you go and you buy on an exchange, you take your crypto purchase and you put it into your hardware wallet, and you put it away for safekeeping. So you have your crypto. If you don't have your keys, you don't have your coin. Period.
Right. And we've talked about this before,
right,
about the hygiene of crypto.
Right.
So in doing that, if Coinbase, so to speak, went bankrupt, you still would be okay as long as they weren't holding your asset.
Right.
Correct?
Right. Because through a bankruptcy proceeding, you may get your investment back.
Right, at a percent.
You may get a little, you know, breadcrumb of your investment back, or you may get nothing.
Right.
But if you do your investment and you get through the holds that are there, so if you wire funds we're not picking on Coinbase, it's just something that's so much more familiar to people, but if you wire funds over there, generally the funds are there. They can go ahead and execute the trade. They're not going to be holding your cryptos for monies to clear, okay? So, but if you're doing like an ACH transfer or some other transfer, you may have to wait a week. And so you're just going to have to evaluate if that's a risk you wish to take. And I think, you know, in the environment that we're in right now, depending on the kind of a purchase that you're making, that might be a risk that you can take.
And it may not be, so you
yes.
need to look at other ways to
right.
purchase.
And there are other, like, over-the-counters, for
right.
instance, that you can work with. Might be a little bit more expensive, but, you know, a little bit more reassuring that you're going to get your cryptos as soon as
right.
that trade is executed.
So, not exactly financial advice, but if I could speak to my own methodology
sure.
of avoiding as much fees as possible and keeping it self-custodial. As often as possible, I buy either Bitcoin or Matic over the counter, and then I use Trust Wallet to swap between chains, or no, sorry, Exodus Wallet to swap between chains. And the reason being is the Exodus Wallet uses non-custodial smart contracts to swap between chains. It uses all open source, non-proprietary software. Therefore, you're not having to ever send any money through exchanges. So if you want to move through chains, and then you can still get the tokens on any given chain, by having that wallet available on your trust or whatever. But if you pretty much want the Coinbase selection of tokens and coins and want to be able to move through them and essentially never have to worry about, not holding on to your money, Exodus or any wallet that allows that type of swapping between chains is a really great alternative to having to use a centralized exchange.
It sure is, and I'd love to add another one, and that is the Divi mobile wallet. It allows you to do the same, open source, extremely secure, and very easy to use.
It's got a few coins, though, correct?
No, they have several coins on there on the swapping mechanism. You can buy directly, I believe, 5 or 6 coins, like Litecoin, Bitcoin, that type of thing. But if you wish to exchange, you could pretty much exchange almost anything that is worth exchanging for. But let me go back just a moment to what you were saying, Cameron. So you're talking about tokens that you already hold, but for would that you're not, let's say if you're just entering into the market with fresh cash, fresh fiat, how would be, what would your on-ramp be?
Oh, it would still be Exodus, so they have a button on it. I mean, ultimately, well, so if I'm getting Bitcoin, which I'm currently signed up for like $10 a month with Swan, or maybe 25.
Right.
But anyway, so that's just going into my trust wallet pretty regularly, and that to me, that's a very simple on-ramp to whatever I want to be in. That being said, considering moving through the rails of Exodus wallet, so to speak, Bitcoin's a rather expensive one to move through those rails and convert to other cryptos. So if I plan on switching, well, first of all, if I'm buying a token, 9 times out of 10, it's on the Matic network because I think that's where the most promising projects are. That's not financial advice, and that's probably not good advice either. But,
hashtag NFA.
So, personally, I just use MoonPay to get Matic when it's available. It's not always available on MoonPay, but that's what Trust Wallet and Exodus both use for their just quick purchases, not over the counter, or not your traditional over the counter, but it's not an exchange. And you can also use that as your fiat off ramp to go back over to the fiat world.
Right.
Not perfect, but it money never sits in there, or your crypto never sits in their hands. So if I buy from MoonPay or Simplex, or there's one other good one, that once you get an email set up with them, you just give them your public address, and so long as you entered it right, it will always land there in the event that you buy something. No password or anything. You just type in your email address, and it's associated with your email address. And then when you make your purchase, it lands right in your thing within a half hour, 99% of the time. And then from Exodus Wallet, you can go through essentially any major chain. I can't think of any chains that you can't get to from Matic, and converting is a matter of a couple of dollars across chains, whereas with Bitcoin, you're looking at $50 to $70
Bitcoin's much more expensive that way. And I do think MoonPay does have a limit on how much you can purchase with their service.
Yes.
But if you're going to make a big purchase, go to an over-the-counter.
Yeah.
Work with a broker who can help you.
I don't think that $50 or $70 going across the bridge, if you're exceeding MoonPay's cap, I don't think that $50 or $70 to convert from Bitcoin to whatever token you want, just so you can buy nice and easy from Swan or your over the counter of choice. I wouldn't imagine that a slightly more costly exchange fee is going to be a hindrance. Right.
But it can basically work the same whether you go through Coinbase for Bitcoin, correct?
Lands in your Coinbase account, and it has to, if your funds have to clear, then it has to sit there.
Right.
But even if it doesn't, it still does land in your Coinbase account until you move it out.
And when it comes to Bitcoin, you may have to wait a few days before it becomes available.
Yeah.
Just saying. So they may not have it.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So that's why you go to Swan and buy your Bitcoin.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
It's not that they don't have it, but they're upfront about what they're doing. Okay. So if they don't, they're not going to sit there and say, you can't buy Bitcoin because we don't have it. They're just not going to allow you to buy it, period. And that has not happened. Okay, but if you go on Coinbase and you're buying Bitcoin and your money is there, it's cleared, you may not get it for several days because they got to go find it.
Interesting.
And who were our guests in Texas, I believe, that had the OTC project? I can't remember the name of theirs.
Oh, actually, that's Coin Trading Company, and they're here locally in Redding and up in Oregon.
Yeah.
And you can find them on our website at Tokens Radio Show /CTC. That's Tokens Radio Show, CTC.
Thank you. I didn't want to butcher their name.
Well, we've got a couple minutes here left, and another topic we'd really, I think we should get in is the discussion on what is a security and what is a commodity.
Yeah.
You know, we just had some new legislation, finally some regulation coming to the forefront to help the progression of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. It is so important that we have this so that our developers who are behind these wonderful projects have some direction. And they have come out with what is a security and what is a commodity. And in just in short, Bitcoin has been considered a commodity. And the reason why it's considered a commodity is because it's property assets that can be bought or sold on an exchange, but they're typically raw materials or agricultural products. See, Bitcoin is mined, and it's in very limited supply. So, and it looks like we're going to be coming up to the end of the show here in a few moments.
Oh, we only have a few. So yeah, I think this is a topic we really need to hit upon maybe next week.
How much time do we have, Liam?
You are looking at 3 minutes.
Oh, okay, so we can talk a little bit about this. So, but, you know, commodities, it's mined goods typically. And you may or may not have those items for the express purpose of having a return on your investment, although it would be great to have a return on investment. Why do people have gold, right? Is it necessarily so that they go out and trade gold or hope that gold is going to increase in value? It's a store of
a value.
Yes. Correct?
Yes. And like we... Go ahead, Cameron.
What I might tack on to a commodity is that it's going to sustain value in the absence of currency.
Correct.
If fiat disappears, if the U.S. dollar disappears, if we're not trading anymore, there's an independent and intrinsic value to it that's not dependent on gaining of wealth.
Exactly.
And like what we were talking before the show, too, it depends on why you're defining securities or commodities, for what reason, and what guidelines do you go for that? I mean...
Right.
Okay, we all know that I do taxes, so from my standpoint of view, a security or commodity may have a little bit different definition than yours over here.
Right.
So
they don't compute.
Yeah, they don't go together at all. So I guess my point to that is, what are you doing in your life? What is your end goal? What is the mission?
Right.
So what guidelines are you going to follow in that mission?
Well, and it's like... A security is generally created by something and distributed to others, basically sold to others with an expectation of a profit. Correct?
Correct, yeah.
That's a very simplistic way of saying that.
It's generally used for the fundraising purposes as well. You could make Yu-Gi-Oh cards and people collect those and like G.I. Joe's, and neither of those are considered securities. But in general, a security is used to essentially buy some return on it, like a promised return on investment. So if you're helping them get from point A to point B, once the given security arrives at point B, you should be expecting a return on investment. Whereas if you held on to a G.I. Joe from the 80s and didn't take it out of its box, you weren't buying that to help G.I. Joe build more things, and you weren't expecting them to pay you for it. you are just looking at that independent object as independent your dollar.
Well, that's true, but G.I. Joes, just in the context of what current legislation there is, those would not be considered securities. They're considered.
That's what I mean.
Yes, right. They're a collectible.
Those would be the example of a commodity.
Right. Yes, because you can't get G.I. Joe anymore. Oh, we're coming up to the music. Yep. Well, we'll have to continue this conversation maybe next week. This is a great topic, guys.
We'll definitely come back with this next week.
All right. Well, have to say goodbye to everybody. Have a great week, and we'll be back next week.
All right.
Maybe.
Alrighty,
take care.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.